Desire y'all's prayers this morning. I really appreciated that song. It kind of ties into where my heart has been this morning. Looking back and considering our Lord. The song that has been ringing through my mind the last few days is titled, Do You Know My Lord? And the lyrics go, Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Then we have the chorus, Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? And so what I'd like to do this morning is to give you an introduction to my Jesus, to my friend, to look at some of the reasons why he's trustworthy, why we can lean into him today. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this was to Abraham. Abraham is referred to as the father of faith. Do we know today of a country here on earth that's founded by Abraham's lineage? We have one, don't we? Called Israel. The name Israel, wasn't that a name of one of Abraham's descendants? Isaac's son, Jacob, who had his name changed to Israel? Was God true to his word to Abraham? Is Israel a nation that is looked down upon in our world? And I'm not talking about those that may despise it, but Israel in our world today is looked at as a nation that has to be reckoned with. It may be a small nation, but it's not inconsequential in the scheme of things in our world today. And do you realize that is part of the promise of God to Abraham we can still see today? That God had said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to establish this. Abraham was a man dedicated to God. We know that he followed the Lord. He had a son that he waited for years because the Lord said, you're going to have a child. Initially, he asked the Lord, is it going to be my servant here who's going to inherit? And the Lord said, no, you're going to have a child. And Abraham, when he was 100 years old, I think it was, a child was born. And with that child, God asked Abraham to do something one day. He said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son for me. I want you to take him up into this mountain, an offering as a sacrifice. Now, Abraham, that's a pretty... I don't know of any parent that, to me, has the proper love a parent should have that would say, that's an easy thing to do, okay. Especially not the son you've been waiting 100 years for. And now the Lord's saying, I want your child. But you know, there's something in what God was doing there that was actually pointing on up to Christ. God had told Abraham, we've got to make a payment here. And Abraham was looking at that situation, and Abraham said, okay, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work it out. If I give my son up, that's pretty much cuts that lineage off. In the eyes of humanity, that's a done deal. But God, you've got some plan in place. And even when going to the mountain, and Isaac asked, well, Father, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And you know, the ram in the bushes provided for Isaac is a foreshadowing of Christ being provided for all mankind. And Abraham sitting there looking at the situation said, Lord, I don't quite understand, but I think I'm starting to see. Son, the Lord's going to provide. He's going to provide a sacrifice that's going to go in your place. And so even back in Genesis, we see Abraham. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God in multiple places in the Bible. And you know, the song I mentioned earlier, I'm going to say, been jealous of Abraham a bit. Can you imagine having such a close friendship with God that you can go out at night and stand there and look up at the stars and have the Lord come up beside you? I wonder if they, you know, pointed at the Big Dipper or the different constellations we have, if they discussed those. They were looking at them because God said, you know, you see all those stars up there, Abraham? Yeah. Remember that promise I've made? It's going to come to pass. And Abraham believed God. He trusted in him. Let's move on over to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, starting in verse 1, says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. What I want to point out here is Abraham had passed away, and Isaac's beginning to move out, live his own life. That happens as time goes on. Many of us who's up in age, our parents have moved on into eternity. It's up to us to begin living lives for the Lord. But what I love about this is the Lord comes to Isaac, says, Isaac, your father was my friend, and I made a promise to him, a covenant. I want to be your friend too. If you'll follow me like your father did, if you'll go where I tell you to go, if you will listen and obey, I want to have that relationship with you that I had with Abraham. He wanted to be Isaac's friend. Didn't want to just be a remote God. I've heard people in the world make mention before, you know, like God's up in heaven and he's a long distance ways away and he really doesn't get involved with men. But God's not that way. God came down and talked to individuals. Going on to Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 12. And this is Jacob. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now here we see Jacob. This is the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. Here he is, in the story, we know here he was sleeping with a stone for a pillow. That doesn't sound like the most comfortable rest. But here God, once again, is reaching down saying, you know what? I made a covenant with my friend Abraham. And I reached out and I established a friendship and a covenant with his son. And now you're the grandson. And I want to reach out to you. And I want to establish a covenant and a relationship with you, Jacob. Jacob the usurper. To establish you back into the ways of your father. To make things plain. To be consistent as God. Did God change from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob? Did the promise change? No, it was the same God. The same God looking to establish that relationship with mankind. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the Lord. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So now we're up to Moses. Moses is out tending the flock and he sees a bush that's on fire. And it's not getting consumed. And it catches his attention. And he's, I want to go see this. Why isn't this bush being consumed? I don't know about you all, but I would think if I was in the shoes of a shepherd trying to protect my flock and I see a wildfire starting, I'm going to be paying it some close attention. I'm going to be wanting it to go out. Because you don't want it to spread. You don't want the wind to blow the wrong way. I'm going to be quite focused on that. And Moses was. So he goes to see and the Lord speaks to him. He says, take off your shoes. You're on hallowed ground. And he starts off, I am the God of your father. Now we don't know much about Moses' father. But I would say this much, we can probably tell what kind of man he was by the impact that we see things having in Moses' life. Moses' heart, even though he was raised a prince of the Egyptians, Moses' heart was towards the Hebrew people, wasn't it? He had an understanding of where he came from and what his lineage was. And he recognized that I'm not Egyptian. I've been raised this way. I've been trained by him. Took in, treated well, potentially, as a prince. But that's not the me. That's not where I come from. And so, I would say Moses' father had somewhat to do with that. Because even the Lord says, I'm the God of your father. But then God goes ahead and ties that lineage back again, doesn't he? Says, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of promise, Moses. And why was he talking to Moses here? Did he just want to, hey, Moses, I'm God, and go on down the road? Or was this the start of a relationship that was going to last for quite a few years between him and Moses? The wonderful Lord of heaven is once again reaching down to man saying, I want to be your friend. I want to be your God. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. Moses, I want you to know me personally. I don't want just to be the God of your father, the God of your ancestors, the God of Isaac, Israel, Abraham. I want to be the God of Moses, too. I want to know you, Moses. You know, this type of relationship God has sought with his people down through the ages. Elijah. Do you think Elijah had a relationship with the Lord? Knew the Lord as a friend? When in 1 Kings chapter 18, when they were challenging the prophets of Baal, Elijah says, and it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. We look at prophets like that. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to speak for myself. I look at these, what I call marvelous strong men of the Bible, and there's a part of me that desires, how can I get to know the Lord like they did? And Elijah knew the Lord. He said, I'm a servant. And everything I've done is what he's told me to do. Doesn't that sound like the relationship Abraham had? And Abraham was called a friend of God. And we see the power of Elijah's word. He could stop the rain because the Lord said he could stop the rain with his word. And the Lord told him, when you release it, it'll come. Because the Lord said, I know you. I have a relationship with you. You're my friend. What about David? David called a man after God's own heart. What kind of relationship does that say that David had with the Lord? A distant one? One of just occasional contacts? I only know the Lord on Sundays? No. To know somebody, for somebody to say that's a person after my own heart, it implies a closeness, a constant companionship. And when David was charging his son Solomon with building the temple, they held an assembly, and he was making a reference to that assembly, and this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in a house, all of this store that we have prepared to build thee in a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou hast tried the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare thy heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Notice David's cry here to the Lord. Lord, I have a relationship with you. But he keeps speaking about people's hearts. The secret to David's relationship was, his relationship with the Lord wasn't just in the literal temple. The Lord had come into his heart. He knew the Lord. Lord, you're my king. You're my God. He said, talking about, O Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Israel, of our fathers. He recognizes the lineage back to the promise of God. And then he implores the Lord, build that relationship with the people in their hearts. Be with my son. Establish your friendship with him. Show him the beautiful God you are. Let him see clearly and without complaint. Now let's go into the New Testament, into John. John chapter 8, verse 56. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, we know that, because I mentioned it earlier, that Abraham saw the foreshadowing of the Savior being provided for mankind. Abraham saw that through the shadowing. Now, here Jesus is saying that Abraham's rejoicing. Can you imagine the joy in Abraham's heart when the Lord went to earth? Because Abraham's like, this God of eternity, your son, the lamb, the one set aside to replace the sacrifices that we can't make. What parent would want to truly offer their child? None. But God said, I wanted to see what you would do, Abraham, but I've got a sacrifice prepared that will take care of that, that will pay the price. Thinking about us individually, what can we do to save ourselves? Nothing. Without God, you know, I think of our world today. How many people here can clothe and feed themselves without any help from the Lord? You know, we might in our own hearts like to say, oh, I've got it. I've got a closet full of clothes. Where did those clothes come from? You might have, you know, a refrigerator and freezer full of food set back. Where did that food come from? And you can say, well, I can always go grow more food or hunt. And where did the plants and animals come from? All of that's put in place by a God that says, I want to know you. In the garden, way back at the beginning of time, in the cool of the day. What did God do? Sit up in heaven? No. God said, I'm coming to talk. I want to come down and know you. I want to walk through this garden you've been keeping up for me. I want to talk about the garden. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what's going on. I want to know you as, in that case, Adam and Eve. I want to know you as individuals. And I want you to know me. Not just as a all-powerful being that sits on a throne and rules with might and judgment, but one that has love. One that wants the best for humanity. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is Jesus speaking, and I found it interesting. He's looking at the faith of this centurion, a Gentile, outside the lineage of Abraham. And he says, I haven't found this is a wonderful faith. But what I like is in verse 11, he ties that back to the hope of the promise of Abraham. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. This is the way that a lot of times they would phrase come from the whole world. In that time. And Jesus is saying, remember the promise that in Abraham, everybody would be blessed? That not just the children, oh yes, the children of Abraham will be blessed. His lineage will be blessed. But the whole world, all families, it says in one place, would be blessed. And Jesus is saying, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Was that just they're going to be blessed here on earth? No. Eternity. You know, God's looking. Some people sometimes will establish relationships just for a period of time when they're looking to gain something. They're looking to, I call them superficial relationships. I don't know if you've known people, but they don't. There's not deep relationships. You know, the Lord is not wanting a shallow relationship. He's wanting a relationship to where you will be willing to spend time with Him for the rest of your life and on into eternity to enjoy the time together. think of Jehoshaphat. He was facing the Moabites and Ammonites. They were coming up to do battle. This is back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And he goes to approach the Lord, and he's petitioning the Lord for help. And he says, "Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" And that phrase struck me. He recognized the friendship of Abraham didn't stop at the grave. It wasn't just, well, you were the friend of Abraham, but Abraham, thy friend forever. A friend of God forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that the Lord's looking to establish a relationship with us that's just not momentary? That's not just while we're all feeling good and happy, but he's willing to be there in the down times. I want to go now to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, starting in verse 8. It says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is the relationship the Lord wants to have with us. One of a closeness. One that he says, if you're scattered to the far ends of the earth, I'm going to go find you. I'm going to go reach out to you. I'm going to draw you back. If you're in fear, don't be. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you. Uphold us with his righteousness. What is our righteousness like? It says filthy rags in the Bible, doesn't it? Isn't it nice to know that the Lord has said, I'm going to make sure your righteousness is appropriate by giving you some of mine. The wedding garments we hear of in the Bible, there's a reason for that. The king says, I want you appropriately dressed for the occasion. When judgment comes and the bride is brought before the groom and the church is brought before Jesus in front of God for eternity. Do we really want our dirty old rags to be on us at that time? Isn't it wonderful that the Lord has said, I am preparing for that. I've got robes for you to put on. You can be clean, you can be spotless, you can be pure. He has chosen us. He says he will not cast us away. You know, we seek after God. How many times have we heard where people are petitioning judges, politicians, they're trying to go to court and get a ruling in their favor. And sometimes, you read it in the newspaper all the time, the court says, well, we're not even going to hear the case. We're not going to, for whatever reason, we're not going to take your case up. You know, we have a God that we can petition. A God that's not going to tell us, I'm not going to hear your case. I've got other things going on right now, and either it's too small, doesn't. The Lord God of heaven came down and spent time with man, sent his son down to walk the earth in human form so that son could advocate for our feelings, our heartaches, our joys, our excitements, our exuberances that may cause us to do things we shouldn't do. You know, you can do things in excitement that sometimes is just as unwise as things done in anger and everything else. And God's Son was sent down so that relationship, that full understanding could be had. So that as we reach out to the Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus is sitting there saying, yes, Lord, I've been down here. And, you know, it may not be the smoothest prayer that person's ever said, but look at their heart. Look at their motives, where they're coming from. I understand them, Lord. Help. Let. Go ahead and listen to their prayer, Father. I've been in their shoes. This is my Jesus. And so I'd say, if you don't have an established relationship with Jesus, if you need help, if you need strengthening, I invite you. Come talk to him today. He is still looking to establish that relationship with folks. Y'all pray for me.